Don't go on mute now. I was on mute.
Whoa. It works, huh?
I was scrolling. I was scrolling through my things and my notes.
Difficult battery excuse than notes.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Nope. Eons before ever after, six like-minded individuals came together with a shared purpose, one of insertion, integration, inclusion. We aim to show our people a different kind of dice game, one based not on competition, but creation, imagination, and fruition. With these conditions, no futurism without the Afro, and always put the culture before the cash flow. We are the Dungeon Family.
What's up, Dungeon Fam, and welcome back to another Dungeon Family D&D podcast. I am your dungeon partner, Jamar, and I play Jacques, the penguin fighter.
Hi, I'm Michelle, and I'm playing Eno Adesina, Water Genasi Stone Sorcerer.
Hey, and I am Marcia, also go by Mark, and I play Olivia Montier, and I am a Owlfolk Rogue.
Hey, this is Leslie. I play Yaren Bloodsoul. I am a Fallen Asmar Paladin.
What's up? I'm Chris. I'm playing Evelyn Hellion, and I am a Tiefling Ranger.
What's up, gang? Murph here. I play Juice McCoy, Attorney at Large, and a Ladrin Bard.
Previously on the Dungeon Family.
After our very first adventure in the lovely mansion, conscripted by the Council of Saltmarsh to investigate lizardfolk attacking Saltmarsh, which was obviously a problem because like kids were coming and missing and shit. We check out a boat that has lizardfolk on it. We get on the boat after several people do a very good job and others do a very awful job of sneaking. I believe somebody was trying to remain frozen in place. Someone else was trying to use a rope like a snake charmer or some shit. Anyway, we ended up siding with the lizardfolk to overthrow the captain and the rest of the crew on the boat. In doing so, we ran afoul of the captain, of course, the boatswain, and some wild-ass fucking teenage kid who was magic as hell. That fight got nasty. A bunch of people were blinded and deafened for a while. That was frightening. We eventually defeated all of them, had a weird standoff with the lizardfolk, never saw them again. Then got to the lizardfolk colony after, I think, another conversation with the Saltmarsh Council, because we're trying to get on the colony's good side, because they still thought the colony was responsible for the all the shit that was happening. We hang out with the colony for a while. The colony got a bunch of real cool, sweet, awesome folk. The queen was, you know, authoritative, but still pretty chill. Franklin, our colony concierge, was also pretty chill, despite him being fed up and in some cases disgusted with us frequently. They agreed to a peaceful situation of sorts with the Council of Saltmarsh, provided we help them by destroying some thousand-tooth old fucking gator. That was fun. In doing so, we ran afoul of some bullywog that we finessed and got away from, but not before getting followed by the lizardfolk hatchlings, the queen's kids, who are both inquisitive and annoying. But they did help us kind of find the thousand tooth gator in the water. We were able to defeat that gator, and then we had to defeat the gator again because he was apparently some sort of mummy gator. That was cool. Killed the fuck out of him. Got a lot of gator skin and meat. A weird sort of mutinous moment with Ali trying to kill Yaren that no one saw and very few people believe. After all that shit, we're trying to figure out and find our way home. Some people elected to try a bed and breakfast. Those people were not Juice or Evelyn. They were everyone else. That went real crazy because motherfuckers were either going to sleep or getting put to sleep against their will. the gnomes there eventually helped us figure out that the so-called proprietor of this bed and breakfast, Maggie, was in fact some sort of maybe witch or something or whatever that was like, you know, taking people's dreams or some shit, some real goofy ass fucking shit. Eventually, Eno and I and Juice, who are the only ones left awake, were able to scare her off, probably dead, maybe. There was some ash and some shit under the bed, whatever. That bed and breakfast is now ours, now the Gentle Wave. It's now being ran by Franklin. After several very heartfelt moments between he and Eno, especially after Eno had a bunch of wild ass fucking dreams slash nightmares, after the latter of which she met her dad's familiar hawk, a pigeon, an old, slightly racist, extremely alcoholic pigeon, who informed her and the rest of us that her dad and the rest of his crew had been arrested slash raided slash kidnapped or whatever the fuck. Anyway, being held captive probably by the Waterdeep Navy, if I'm remembering that right. And so after again meeting up with the Council of Salt Marsh and getting paid, we are again gonna set out probably to figure out what the hell's up with Eno's dad's crew and shit.
Last time we returned back to Salt Marsh and we all spoke with the council. I believe you all got a contact in Waterdeep.
Thurgis.
We have a name. We have a place. You just need to get there. So by boat, it takes about 12 to 14 days when you get to Waterdeep from Salt Marsh. So now is the time to get whatever it is you need, because it will be a long journey.
A priority for Eno would be to try to get some of the crew that we've utilized before, just because she would have like vetted those people already, put some trust in them. I would also like to bring along a skipper and crew as well.
Give me persuasion.
I still have to persuade this bastard at this point.
I mean, you're asking him to leave behind the ship to go with you.
He's
guys.
Of course. 19 on a die. Persuasion's like a plus
or something.
Yeah, change something. I think I would go up to, you know, persuade him. First, I would actually, you know, again, understanding that she needs help from people, I'd come with the biggest, freshest fish in the market that I could find as a peace offering. And I'd say, look, Skipper, I know you and I have not always been on the best of terms, but you are as protective as you are annoying. And I could really use your help with this mission in keeping the other crew in check.
You see all three of them start to dive into the fish before you can finish your sentence. And Skipper looks up at you and he's like, I admire that you notice all of my great traits. And on any other circumstances, I'd say that, you know, a captain can't leave his post, but I think I can make this one exception this time.
She wants so bad to remind him he's not captain, but she keeps it to herself. She just says, yes.
This is fine fish. You see all three of them.
Finest that they had at the market.
All three of them belch in unison. And, I mean, they pick that fish to the bone.
You can have plenty of fish on the wet dream.
Is there anyone else you're trying to recruit?
Yeah, the crew that we used before. I need some deckhands. I would also look for a boatswain, a proper one, can help us with inventory. Eno would be like, this is a voyage, and I think she understands just how much of a toll that is. I think she would also look for hired help, hired swords, as well. Like, she's trying, like, I would like to stock the ship, get the proper equipment. I want to do maintenance on the ship, like, make sure that it's running smoothly. I just want to do all of this. And I don't know if it's possible, but I kind of want to equip the ship with cannons.
Well, the ship has cannons on it already, I believe.
What? I didn't know that. Okay. I need the schematics for this ship. Okay, so can I just make sure they're stocked and oiled and tested and ready to go? Like, I just want to make sure the ship is running in tip-top shape and that we have a sufficient crew and some backup, because this seems like it's going to be quite the ordeal.
For sure. Let's see. So, it's looking like this ship isn't equipped to have cannons. I thought they did. I might be thinking of a different ship. This ship doesn't have the necessary portholes for cannons.
Is that something that can be modified?
It could be, but it would probably take some time.
Okay. So is there anything that I can do to the ship? I know I can't modify it for weaponry at this point. Mm-hmm. Can I make sure it's fortified, like that it can stand up against some attacks?
Definitely, yeah. Yeah. This is going to be considered a sailing ship for stat block purposes. So since this is a sailing ship, the trip is actually going to be 7 to 8 days now. It's a little faster. If you want to get things like a ballista, I mean, you could probably buy it, but it would be pretty expensive.
Like, how expensive?
Let's see. A ballista is 2,000 gold pieces.
I look at the crew. I have a presentation of why it's important for us to have a ballista and why it's a long-term investment. As you can see here, the ballista is fine as weaponry for the open seas. Range weapon attack. It itself is affordable. It has a range of 120 to 480 feet. And if we're trying to compete with Navy ships, we cannot go in with just our hand weaponry. Costs 2,000 gold pieces. So what can I put you down for? I just look at all the crew.
Each? 2,000 each? Or just 2,000?
2,000 in total.
Okay. Ooh, that scared me. I was like, I also
give this pitch to Jock as well while he's in the Bjorn.
Thank you. Because that's what I wanted to know. Is Jock fishing in?
Yeah.
There is a smaller one, but it's not as fortified as the typical ballista. It's so let's see. A typical ballista has 50 HP, got a armor class of 15, 120 to 480 feet. And it does 3d10 plus 6 to hit, right?
Yep.
You can get a smaller one that is 40 hit points. Armor class 16. The range is 100 to 300 feet. So a little shorter range. And the damage is 3d8 instead of 3d10.
What's the price difference?
This one is 1,000 gold.
It's just straight up 3d8, no modifier?
No modifier, no.
Okay.
And what was the first one?
It's 3d10 plus 3D 6 10. On the modifier.
Well, plus 6 to hit, yeah. It's straight up 3d10 or...
Oh, yeah, 3d10.
Plus 6 to hit.
It would be 334 per person. That's not bad.
You're all rich bastards now.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'm like, honestly, I'd rather, I'm down. Ollie's definitely down. Jacques down. Jacques down. I know for sure he's cool.
You see Jacques over in the corner counting his shiny pebbles. Really trying to see if this is a good business investment.
No shiny pebbles. Gold only. Or your silver.
I look at Eno and I'm just mentally evaluating, just like, how much time do I think I'm going to be spending with her for me to actually invest in this boat? Investing my body is one thing and my services, no, self AO. Okay. Catching myself. investing.
Evelyn.
That was in my brain.
This is going in the fanfic.
Like, we got a joint. We got a joint bank account.
catching myself in that weird thought process. I just passed you 334 gold, just like, and I walk away. No explanation. It's fine.
I give you mine 334 as well.
Appreciate it.
So, just based upon these two donations, I'm assuming you guys are going for the larger ballista, not the medium.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Juice and Yarin.
Ooh, do we have a plank already?
Of course.
What do we need that for? Somebody's gonna walk off.
Pirate ship.
Come on, don't be a stereotype. We don't have to have a plank on a pirate ship. Wait, Captain, do we?
There's most definitely a plank on my pirate ship.
Oh, sorry, I thought that was only in movies.
And television shows. And novels.
Oh, you know what I'm saying? I go find this plank. Wait, are we on the ship right now? No, we're not on the ship. I'll go check it out later.
And so there's also another cheaper option. If you guys don't want to spend 1,000 gold, you can get the Mankanel, which is 200 gold, and the stones are 20 gold pieces each. If you don't know what a Mankanel is, it's kind of like a catapult.
Yeah, I figured it was kind of.
I'm looking at it, and it looked like some shit that gets wheeled into class, like when you have substitute teachers, when they got just like they put a video on, like it looked portable as hell.
Can be, yeah.
What was the dice? What was it? How many?
It's 5d10 bludgeoning.
Ooh.
Armor class 15, hit points 100.
Ooh.
For the Mankanel?
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy to do that. And you said it's only 200 gold?
200?
Yeah, that's what it said on the...
If it's 200 gold, then I would just ask everyone for 200 gold each to purchase the stones that are needed for it.
Sure.
What's the range on that?
200... to 800.
Now, just be mindful that you can't hit things within 60 feet, though. It's only far off targets, which is the drawback to this. You know, it's cheap, it's you know, it's portable, but you can only hit long range things.
I was just gonna say we could buy multiples of them, but we still need the rocks for them, so it would just be best to get one.
If we only get one, is it only mounted to fire from one side?
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no. I'm going to say that you can move it around.
Yeah, I feel like for the price of 200, like, we could get a Manganol regardless. Like, I do think we should still get the... Sorry, I'm trying to remember names. Ballista.
Ballista?
The one that was for 1,000, right?
If we're fine with giving up a lower hit point range because we have a secondary weapon,
yeah, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with the two. As long as we have two, one that's even portable so we could be able to move it around, give us more range and points of attack. So yeah, I'm down for it.
I would also agree, more weapons as opposed to less.
The better.
Okay, so let's do some quick maths. The smaller Ballista is 1,000 gold, right, Jamar?
Mm-hmm.
Plus 200 for the Manganel. Is that how you say it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you said the stones for that are 20 apiece?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're at 1,200 with just the items. I'm trying to think what's like a good stock of that. If we get 25 of them stones, that's another 500 gold. So 1,700 split between the six of us.
So it's looking like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So everyone, let's just call it 284.
Okay.
Yeah, just keep what I got. Get some rocks with it.
I was gonna say, well then I'll add what's the difference? 334 or 284? Was that like two more?
Hell yeah.
But that's really because Evelyn also gave you 334, so assuming you keep that extra.
I would assume that Evelyn would want her change back.
I 100% want my change. Thank you for knowing me.
My bad. Absolutely. My bad.
Give away my money.
Right? I know.
The fact that she gave me this, I understand what it means. Absolutely. All right. We purchased the things, DM. I'm taking my gold off.
Is there any potions that can be purchased?
For sure. Is there any potion in particular you're looking at?
What's the strongest you got?
How much can you afford?
I'm looking at 150 right now. I got a budget of 150.
150. Eek. Potion of poison. You can get a greater healing. That's the best you can get. Fire breath and greater healing.
I'll take the greater healing.
Or you can get 3 regular potions of healing.
Sure, I'll take 3.
Does anyone else need anything?
Yeah, I wanted to buy some antitoxin.
Antitoxin.
Mm-hmm. Now there seem to be 50 gold GP a piece, and I would like 3 of them.
Okay, so 3 vials of antitoxin.
I look at Juice and just ask if he knows something that we don't.
Not necessarily, but you know, like we already have a few people who one specific person who has been very, very actively invested in our mutual demise. I have no reason to doubt that number may multiply very soon. You know me, man. I'm just like being prepared.
Good man.
Paranoid sounds more like it.
You're not with us.
Sorry.
You're not with us. And yeah, maybe. Shit.
Anything else?
Can I buy poisonous arrows?
Yeah, sure.
How many are they? Cost.
Cost of arrows. 20 arrows for one gold piece.
Hell yeah. So I will take one gold piece, 20 arrows, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. I'll take 100 arrows for 5 gold pieces. Thank you.
100 arrows for 5 gold pieces. Okay. Anything else?
That's all. Not me.
Can I get a potion of fire breath?
Mm-hmm.
And 2 greater healings?
Expender.
Yeah, I'm squishy. I will spend to save my ass at a distance. I know the fire breath is 100, but I forget how much the greater healing is.
Greater healing is 100 gold pieces. Is Yaren getting anything?
Yeah, let's see. How much is a cloak of billowing?
50 gold pieces.
I'll cop it then. I will get some regular ass potions. Let me get 3 of them.
Okay, so 150?
Yeah. Should suffice.
All right. Is there anything else before we set sail for the next week?
I just want to make sure we have our crew, because it does take a lot of people to sail, especially for this long. And was I able to find some sail swords?
How much gold do you have left after buying all these weapons and items?
On my own?
Hmm?
I think I can. I'm comfortable. What would be the cost of the crew?
So let's see. 2 higher swords for a week. We'll say 5 gold piece per day. So keep in mind that we're going to be at least 14 days. It's 7 there, 7 back. So, a nice even 15 per person.
So, I also have a trait called Child of a Pirate Captain.
Mm-hmm.
And it allows me to also know where to find people of my interests. Mm-hmm. I don't want any straight-laced folks. I mean, I want, you know, sellswords, folks who understand that this is
right.
Not, you know, but who aren't like, that doesn't necessarily mean they have to be cheats or anything, but like clearly people who have sailed with the less
savory type.
Not even less savory, less mainstream.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'll even add, you know, if we make it back on this mission safely, a 5 gold bonus.
So you want a crew and you want obviously some people that can fight, right? So what, like a 10-man crew, basically? 5 to man the ship, 5 to kind of guard things while you guys are away.
Yeah. So 15 times 10, 150 up front for the folks?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's doable.
Okay, so you got yourself a ragtag bunch of somewhat skilled men of the sea, people of the sea, I should say. Everyone has done their shopping, everyone has their items. I'll say that you guys have gathered all your rations and supplies needed for the 2+ week trip. assuming you guys don't run into any issues on the seas and everything goes smoothly over in Waterdeep.
I would also like to say that during the maintenance of the ship, pest control was definitely included in that. No need for a dirty ship.
Okay. Is there anything else you all would like to do before we set sail?
Quick question, just based on, you know, no need for a dirty ship. Do we have more than a bucket on this ship, Eno?
Oh, absolutely. Like when Eno brought the ship back to me, like there's like bathing quarters now. There's like a drainage system. Like she has like you see Eno sinking some serious gold because this is like we've had this ship, but this is really like now like our ship. So, and we're possibly going into battle. So she's going to outfit this thing to her liking, and she needs a shower. So everyone's going to have access to some type of bathing quarters. I would also make sure that there's adequate sleeping cots for folks, clear out some of the space in a hold. So absolutely, it is stocked with food and fresh produce and alcohol.
Amazing. I look at Juice, I look at Yari, and I point to the bathing quarters. Just please.
Whoa. Please. I bathe. Let's be clear. Let's be very clear about that. Only one of us is sticky.
And that's your friend. You go make sure he bathes.
Hey, go in there and bathe. I don't want to follow him.
We haven't even set sail.
No. Just make sure it works. Go try it out.
I have only seen you wash your hands once the entire time we've been together. I imagine Yari, it is funky.
No, just make sure, just turn it on, make sure it works. And while you're in there, you know, take a shower.
I will inspect the brand new wet dream shower for everyone. I'll report back.
Don't hurry.
Thank you.
Well, Yarin, after Yarin showers, before we impart, I would like to give a rousing speech to my new crew.
Yeah, I mean, you rustle everyone in to the mess hall. Everyone has their drink in hand, eagerly anticipating the captain's rousing speech to set this voyage off on a good foot. It's customary, right?
Yes. She enters, and you see, you know, is now in, you know, usually she's just wearing like her blouse and her riding pants. This time she has this beautiful black wool, just the deepest black you've seen, captain's coat with rich gold epaulets. This is like something that she's held for this moment. She is donning her wide brim captain's hat. That is also a deep black, but you can see it lined in this really beautiful golden threaded trim and silver trim. And she walks up, she takes off her hat and she lays it across her heart and she says, I know we are a new crew and I know we are not the most skilled crew, but in this journey to Waterdeep, I'm going to whip your asses into shape. You are going to work as a team. We are going to fight as a team, and we will win as a team. I'm an easy captain. All I ask for is hard work and commitment and drive. We will show our enemies no mercy. Those imperialist dogs must be buried at sea in the most dishonorable way. I'm not one to say some of us won't make it back, all of you better make it back, because their fate's worse than death, and that's disappointing me as your captain. So eat up, drink up, because tomorrow the work starts and the battle begins. Hear, hear. And she raises a glass to the other crew members.
Hear, hear.
Hear.
Hear, hear.
You see Hawk lift up his little tiny thimble of gin and says, all right, you laddies, let's hear it for the captain. And the rest of the crew just erupts into cheers as they all down their mead and bourbon and whatever their drink of choice is for the night.
Alrighty. Sails up in 10. And we're up before the sun rises. And I'm going to retire to my quarters because I need to do some navigation and mapping.
I nudge Ollie. Like, did she ever teach us how to put the sails up? Do you know how to do that? I don't know how to do that.
Absolutely not. If she told y'all don't even touch it, that's what the crew's here for. You can watch and learn.
Ready to cut the rope? Okay, cool. All right. I've seen it in the movies and the book and the shows. I've seen it in all. They cut them, and it's real cool.
True.
You cut him. That's all I know is you cut him. Right, Captain? You cut him.
Absolutely not.
Don't cut him. Don't cut him. As deputy, don't cut him.
You're not deputy.
I don't even know if that's the right term, but you're right.
It denoted that it made it sound like you were in second command. You are not. That is my co-captain.
I'm with her.
I'm with her. That's my first mate. And that is Evelyn. You are our second mate.
I'm that. Don't cut the rope.
Reminder of titles, just so people know. Evelyn is the first mate of the Wet Dream. Ollie is second mate. Yarian is senior deckhand. And Juice does, we did, I, he has no role because he's not going to do it anyways.
Mm-hmm. Juice is here.
Yep.
Actually, I asked Yarian because I realized that, again, I'm having to humble myself. I'm asking Yarian, and I would like to ask Yarian in a moment, and I say, oh, I have to remember I cannot say Amity Mastered. Got it. You look showered.
Thank you. Water pressure was amazing. I really enjoyed the shower here.
Wonderful. Yarian, I know before I gave you senior deckhand, and it was in a way to demean you, I will not lie. But if there's anything I learned from our sparring session, is that you are no joke on the field. And I would really appreciate your expertise and your skill in helping me to whip the cell swords into shape. Wow. Will you train them?
I'm honored, and I can't believe that you would trust me with such a responsibility, but I will do it. I can whip these cell swords, these vagrants into shape and make them proud members of Wet Dream.
Yes, even though I was rooting very much for my friend Ollie, That big boot was something else.
I think you made the right choice. I won't let you down, Captain Emil.
Thank you, Yarian.
Wow. Yarian is just thinking to himself, like, just warm thoughts. Just really, really appreciates that sentiment.
So is there anything else you all want to do on this final night before you all set off to Waterdeep in the morning?
Yeah, there's a thing I'd like to do. I would like to find Evelyn.
I would just be in my quarters, going over my notes, trying to see if I know anything about Waterdeep.
Fair enough. I'd probably just approach the door, just give a little.
Inside, I look around like, did I hear shit? What? Who the fuck wants me?
Evelyn! Juice! Evelyn! You in there? Evelyn!
That's like the most annoying goddamn knock in
there. Evelyn! Juice! You told me you were in here. You sleep?
Shut up. Hold on.
You sleep?
I'm going to open the door. Okay.
Is that
hold
you?
The fuck on, you child.
Is that you, Evelyn?
I violently open the door.
Hey!
Hey!
What's up?
I don't trust you when you're nice. What do you want?
That is... Well, okay. Fair? Not really fair, but kind of fair. Okay. Okay. Listen, and like, I don't really know who else I could talk to about this. I'm not going to talk to Ollie because Ollie's both
going
to
kill you. Yeah.
Yes. Ollie is frightening not only for her murderous intent, but also for various other interests that are none of my business. And I.
Okay. Oh, do you want a friend?
Wait a minute.
What is happening, what? Leslie?
What?
Was that the bell of friendship?
Yes. Sorry, I thought I had my song music.
No, Leslie's like, I'm adding my own sound effects.
God damn it.
Oh.
Leslie and Marcy.
Hell yeah.
That's my guy. Hell yeah, it's my guy.
Okay. I don't really know. Okay. I'm just gonna come out and say it. You and Eno are fairly close, correct? Or as close
sure.
as
yeah.
yeah, right. Okay, what's your, how do you feel about, and, I kind of look around to see if anybody's around. I'm going to out loud say, how do you feel about Yarian taking over as, cause I don't know if I would know necessarily that he's already been, conscripted to be, you know, to train the cell swords. I probably would, but just none of this is real anyway. I'm just going to say out loud. How do you feel about Yarian maybe taking over probably as head or assistant cook? But before you answer, I'm going to point at you and then cast message. And then I'm going to secretly say, what is your fucking sus check on that goddamn pigeon?
I smirk and I say a lot. You know, actually, I've been carrying around some mushrooms for a while that I've been thinking about letting Yarian try his hand on. You know, he's been making these Michelin star meals. Might as well. but I message back to you. I do not trust this pigeon. I do not know what we're walking into. There is something about her father that I don't trust. I feel like we're walking into a trap.
I'm going to nod and say, oh, yeah, he's been talking about, incorporating some nature into his meals. You know, that's his thing, is nature. Usually it's bugs, but, like, I'm trying to wean him away from that shit. Like, I'm trying to tell him we're not sleeping in the woods no more. We can afford some better animals to cook and eat. But then I'm secretly going to say, yeah, man, like same. Cause like, we hung out with him in the colony briefly, and my whole thing, and like, it's okay. Clearly there was some sort of shit. And I mean, you know, did talk about this, about like not everybody necessarily being cool when she left. And the bird talked about that shit too. The bird did not tell us what side of that divide he was on. And also like, how respectfully the way that Eno describes her dad, he seems a very skilled, infamous, sea savvy individual, and a motherfucker like that don't just get like ran up on or get caught slipping. Like that's some shit. This all seems calculated, and I'm just trying to figure out if a bunch of able-bodied pirates got. How did this drunk, somehow flightless pigeon manage to escape this shit? And like, I would approach Eno with this, but like, one, Eno, of course, doesn't necessarily listen to me in matters of, you know, anything. And then also, like, between you and me, I worry that perhaps, you know, possibly too close to this, you know, to really perhaps see it for what it could be. And I know you seem to be a little more generally equally discerning, and I'm sure you would keep an eye out for her, and that would really actually help us all out, because like, you know, I've in my 187 years on this plane, I refuse to go out because a fucking bird fucking ratted on us, so to speak.
Yeah, there was a lot of silence. Just awkwardly staring at each other. Awkwardly just like an old like aloud. Well, you know, I think you must be doing some kind of a good job, because he's gone from bugs to ham to now crocodile. So, you know, it might work out for him. Jamar, how much would I have actually heard about her father before meeting Eno?
Give me a history with disadvantage.
Damn. Okay.
Since you're not native to sailing and things like that.
Okay. Damn, 14.
You've heard a lot of hearsay. It's kind of hard to tell what's fact and what's, you know, just bards embellishing stories for attention. But you've definitely heard about some of his escapades. You know that he's very elusive. You know that he prides himself. He's a very boastful individual about all his finds, his treasures, things like that. But you've definitely heard of him.
In message, I agree. How does somebody that's relatively well known, hard to catch, get caught by the Navy? And if he's known, wouldn't his familiar also be known? Like, why would they let the pigeon go?
Like, bingo.
It doesn't add up. I agree. I think she's too close to this. Let's keep an eye out. I don't know how we're going to have to handle this when it comes down to it, but we're just going to have to figure it out once we meet this man and see exactly what we're walking into. But the best we can do is just prepare.
Yeah. Because I mean, respectfully, I think that we should consider something very important here, and that is if we can trust Yarian to cook on land and cook something like an alligator, there's no reason to assume he couldn't do the same with some good fish. And then in mentions, I'm going to say, yeah, that checks out, because like, respectfully, this hawk pigeon, this hawk pigeon, this pigeon hawk, could either be in this for Eno's father, which would check out, or be in this for himself. I don't necessarily think that he would have Eno's interests at heart, much less ours.
Hell no.
Yeah. So, just wanted to make sure, you know, the sus check was the same across the board.
How drunk do you think you have to get a pigeon to get some information out of him?
Not very. We got him. We managed to get what we got out of him without even getting him that drunk. So, I mean, I'm assuming if we get him hammered, maybe he'll, you know. But then again, you know, sometimes when you're real good at drinking, you know. Mm. But I don't know. Motherfucker's a bird. I mean, not saying birds can't drink, but I've seen a lot of shit, but I don't know. Yeah.
Drinking and flying feels like a crime.
That feels dangerous. Feels fucking dangerous. Agreed. Yeah, no, I just wanted to make sure that was established across the board. Yeah.
You know, go tell Yarian that I'd like a couple potential recipes for these shrooms. And one day this week before we get off into Waterdeep, definitely want to have a nice dish.
Yeah, totally. I will let him know. I'm sure he'll be excited about that. He's always looking for some new food to experiment with, you know, and I do trust him a lot more in the kitchen now that he, you know, it's important to have a clean chef in the kitchen. And he's very happy about that. Very happy that we got that down. Maybe we can get him to see the benefits of showering.
It could get him a girl. He won't have to just be around you.
Well, as pleasant company as I am, yeah, maybe, you know, yeah, I don't, yeah, sure, maybe. That could probably be, yeah, maybe.
I detect jealousy.
No. no, just, well, it wouldn't be my business to tell, but his what he's looking for right now is not necessarily in the way of, you know, like romance. But who knows? Like, the sea presents many surprises and gifts for us all. So, I mean, who's to say? You know, like, maybe. You know. Well, I don't see that on my seafaring bingo card, but I mean, there is a free space, so I should, sure. I would be pleasantly surprised, but you know, I mean, as his best man, I'm sure I would write a riveting speech about their potential blessed union. Were such a thing to come to pass.
No, I was not. No, Eno's not for Yarian. No. I meant, you know, gift of the seas.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. Totally. Yeah. I was already scratching like a heart with like Eno plus Yarian in it, and I just scratched that shit out on the wall. I just like carved that shit out. Like, yeah, totally. Yeah, totally. You are correct. Yep. Gift of the seven seas. I see what you did there. Gift. Don't even worry about what I said. That was crazy. Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If she asked me about this carving and I point, obviously you did it. Good night, Juice.
Night. Good night. Good night. Good night. Pleasant. Whatever the hell is in there. Yep. Take it easy. And then I wait until the door is closed and it's like, Evelyn, you still in there? You and sleep so, that fast?
You know, I could help Ollie kill you.
Good night. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Totally.
I just returned to my reading.
I just go back to getting drunk.
What is Yaren doing during all this for Juice to sneak away from?
Presently, Yaren is trying to commandeer whatever the better bonk is, and what I'm assuming is going to be Yaren and Juice's shared space. He's probably just fixing his little trinkets, his seasonings, you know, just whatever he has in his pack, or just getting comfortable. Just bracing himself for, yeah, life on ship, because he hates sea life.
And Ollie?
Ollie would be contemplating and, like, going over the plan of, during this, like, big battle, if it would be wise to do friendly fire. She bought poison arrows. An accidental death would or could happen. So she's planning that at this time. Like, physically, like, seriously, like, planning it out. Like, thinking of taking out Yaren first during this battle. So she's planning, like, she's in her room by her, like, if there's, like, a quarter for her, just her. She's alone right now, being as quiet as possible, you know, mimicking as if she's asleep. And just planning on killing Yaren.
Damn. So not even second degree, just full on first degree capital murder, right?
Full like, on.
Premeditated, like, planned. You still kept the receipts and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's good to know. Great to know.
You don't know that, Yaren. You didn't hear that.
Yeah, luckily.
Clean that from the record.
That's crazy. I'm just imagining this being in combat and then Ollie being like, yep, and just popping a whole arrow off directly at Yaren. Like, ain't nobody gonna see that shit.
We don't know. We don't know how what's gonna happen in
combat. That's true.
We don't know. We don't know.
That is so true. We don't know.
We don't know.
We don't know. That's crazy how we don't know.
Uh-huh.
We know.
Crazy how we really don't know.
We know.
It's all up to the spaghetti monster. It's all up to them.
Great Pastafarian.
Great Pastafarian. Hail thee.
And finally, what is Eno doing?
Eno would be in her captain quarters. She is at her... She's usually at her desk. You see these schematics and charts spread out over the desk. But she is sitting on the floor in deep concentration. And she is, it's not necessarily prayer, more to speaking to a higher power. She's thinking about the dreams that she's been having, how Hawk somehow miraculously found her in Salt Marsh of all places. She is trying to quell all the negative thoughts and emotions because she has to be the captain. So she is trying to quiet all of the doubt, all of the naysay, the possibility of mutiny, food running out, like just all of the variables that it truly takes to run a ship effectively. And I think she is just trying to keep herself up and ready to take on this challenge.
Give me a religion check.
Well, 17 on the die, 19 total.
19, okay. So you're sitting there in deep concentration, really going over all the possibilities of what can happen over these next, you know, 7 to 14 days, however long it takes you guys to sail to Saltmarsh and back. The weight of it is just excruciating. All this negativity, all these answers that people are going to come to you for, you know, are we going to have enough food? All these questions about your father, all these questions about the uncertainty that the sea brings. All these concerns are like a wave that crashes over you. And then for a brief moment, you feel this sensation of peace. And it feels as if all this noise in the outside world dissipates. You can't hear the chattering of the crew enjoying their drinks. You can't hear the creaking of the boat. You can't hear all this commotion that flooded your mind. And for a brief moment, you have peace. And you can hear the gentle waves crashing against the boat in such a rhythmic way that it's almost like a mantra. And you feel the sensation of it's going to be okay, that you are enough, that you can handle whatever comes your way, and that you will be successful, and that the answers will come to you in time when the time is right.
After that sensation, she sighs heavily. Not a negative sigh. It's a content sigh. It's a sigh of relief. It's a sigh of release. Oh yeah. Guide my ship to safety in Olokun. Guide my pistol to take down all of my enemies, close and far.
As you snap back into this reality, you end your sort of trance. You can hear the sounds of Jacques and Hawk stumbling through the hallways outside your room. You're pretty sure both of them are inebriated.
I almost go to the door to admonish, and I say, no, it's going to be fine. I'll let them enjoy it.
And with that, everyone will retire for the night, and we will set sail before the sun rises tomorrow.
Bye!
See you later! Bye! Bye! See you later.
Later.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Dungeon Family D&D Podcast. Don't forget to check in every Tuesday for new episodes. You can find us on all major social media platforms. Smash that follow button, drop a comment, or just say what's up. This episode is brought to you by our partners, Nukescape Crafts, our favorite spot for custom resin projects and the nicest rolling dice.
Does anybody have a scrolly mouse?
Yes.
I heard it. It wasn't me. I got a trackball.
No. You not ask?
I'm just like,
no, why is everything you touch make noise? You don't even want to hear my keyboard.
If
we have heard your keyboard.
If nobody else here, I'm not going to say nothing else.
Is what I'm like, it's getting loud. I'm muting myself. Goodbye, everyone.
Chris literally distinguished a specific sound.
No.
Mouse scrolling.
Yeah, I heard it too, but I was like, I'm gonna just Maybe it's just me. Maybe Jamar found some notes or something. I know it can't be Marcy again. it can't be Marcy in the world's loudest apartment. It can't be Marcy. Are you again. Me a page right now? Going crazy over there.
Don't go on mute now. I was on mute.
No, whoa. It works, huh?
I was scrolling through my things and my notes.
Notes. Could have got a better excuse than notes.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Notes. That's funny.
It's hilarious. I'm not gonna sound shamey. It's just so funny.
Shit. Shit. It's fine. It's all right. We all.
I'm trying to be very quiet as I scroll.
Just mute it. Just mute it. You can scroll as loud as you want. Oh, nobody that's also over here.
What's up, Dungeon Family? It's me, Marcy. I play the revenge-seeking rogue, Ollie Montier, and I'm here to tell you about the Dungeon Family merch shop. We got merch. We got shirts. We got t-shirts. I said that. We got pins. We got stuff for you to put on your persons and rep our podcast. And we can't wait to see you all in it. And you can find this awesome stuff at redbubble.com/people/blacksanddragons. It's blacks, the letter N, dragons. So check it out. Give us a little look-see, and we can't wait to see you in the stuff. Have a great day.
But it's like this, though. I'm tired of folks, you know what I'm saying? I'm closed-minded folks, you know what I'm saying? It's like we doing geek shit. We cosplaying, we playing D&D, and don't nobody want to feel it. But it's like this. Black nerds got something to say. That's all I got to say.